birthday, bitches.
That's right. It's time, people, for that nerd update. That's why you're here. Mike Zimmer joined with Armando Aranda, Team Awesome Inc. What the fuck is up? Thank you for tuning in yet again to another edition of the Nerd Update, where we bitch about the industry that we want to be a part of.
Yes.
And they won't let us in because we're critical. Anyway, it's a dynamic. It's a snake eating its own tail, ladies and gentlemen. But regardless, we're happy that you're joining us here yet again at the Awesome Pad, a.k.a. Tron Land 2.0. Tron Pad? Tron Pad.
Tron Pad.
It's the Tron Pad. The awesome Tron Pad, I guess. A lot of LEDs going on. Makes us feel like we're in the future. Speaking of the future, we got some nerdy stories to get to. Are you ready for this shit, Armando?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Literally, guys, we got to start off. I had something to start off with earlier, but when I got this news, I'm like, oh my God. With the heaviest of hearts, we are reporting today, tonight, this day, at this moment, that Adam West, the actor who first defined the iconic role of Batman, passed away Friday night at the age of 88. A rep for the actor said he died after fighting a short battle with leukemia. The family put out a statement saying, "Our dad always saw himself as the bright knight and aspired to make a positive impact on his fans' lives. He was and always will be our hero." West started playing the character of Bruce Wayne / Batman in 1966 on the TV series Batman, which became an instant success. Embracing the color and vibe of the era, Batman became known for its cheesiness, eccentric villains, bam-pow pop-ups, and most of all, West's enthusiastic, lovable take on the Caped Crusader, along with Burt Ward as Robin. Yeah, that does too. The dynamic duo, man, that's where it came from.
Yep.
He lived by day as Bruce Wayne, but fought villains like the Joker, Cesar Romero, and the Penguin, Burgess Meredith, at night. Though the show and the tie-in movie was a huge hit, it was ultimately canceled after only three seasons, mainly due to high production costs and dipping popularity. Oh. As for post-Batman work, West became so associated with the character that it limited the acting roles he was able to take, as casting directors and producers thought it would be hard for audiences to take him seriously once he came on screen. As a result, he stuck to TV work and B-movies, and though he has spoken against darker takes on the characters such as the Tim Burton movies, in time he learned to embrace the role, spending the rest of his career attending fan events, voicing the character in animated versions of Batman, and voicing himself as the over-the-top mayor of Quahog on Family Guy.
Yep.
Since 2000. The original Batman show has grown in popularity over the years, cementing West's legacy as a true superhero icon. There have been many Batmen over the years, such as Michael Keaton, Christian Bale, and Ben Affleck, but few will be able to attain the kind of legendary status Adam West has. He was unique unto his era, embracing a fun, bright Batman with spirit and Applebaum, and will forever remain the Batman for so many fans. While the character has become more famous in recent years for his grit and dramatic leanings, it's impossible to forget that campy, effortlessly entertaining Bat era when Adam West reigned supreme. West will be sorely missed and has certainly earned the title of the Bright Knight. Thank you, Adam West. We miss you already. The Bright Knight. Sleep well, Bright Knight. Sleep well. You've earned it. Holy shit. That's a long time being Batman. 1966? Goddamn, Adam West.
Yeah.
He's been Batman ever since. Once you're Batman, once you're knighted, you are the Dark Knight.
Batman.
Adam West stayed that way. It's like Sean Connery's always going to be James Bond, even though he's Sean Connery. He's like 100,000 years old, I think. He's almost Gandalf the Grey old now. I think he literally is. you know, when I saw that, I was just like, you know what? I love Batman, obviously. We're looking at the bat clock. It's always right, ticking. Right. The bat clock is always ticking. Keep calm and call Batman, it says. To me, I know it's like, oh, you're a nerd and everyone likes Batman. But to me, the character of Batman just represents a guy who stands up for what's right, does the right thing, even though other people aren't doing it, you right. know. Defends himself, defends others, and does it in a cool way, I guess. Seem feasible, makes it seem worth doing.
Yeah.
You feel his struggle and his fight. And granted, Adam West's campy take on it was meant to be more fun and lighthearted, and it was supposed he was still a detective.
Right.
And he was still haunted by his past. He still had that history, obviously.
Right.
With that, you know, I mean, fictional character history. You know, I mean, a real person has passed, so I wanted to talk about that. He still acknowledged that part of the character, and the character was still somewhat reserved. I mean, he played the character like he was a reserved man.
Right.
He was, because he grew up in a really reserved. So there was some emotional gravitas when he was Bruce Wayne, when the cowl was off. But when the cowl was on, it was like, okay, now we're in fun times, you know. It's like when luchadors come out, and it's like, hey, it's time for the fucking show, you know. It's like Batman and Robin come out, and then the bad guys got the domino mask, and they're all fighting, pow, zap, bang. But then, you know, they go back to being, you know, Dick and Bruce, and they're just hanging out, and they're just by the piano. And Bruce is having a scotch, and Dick's like trying to play the piano. And he's like, just fucking stop playing that, will you? I wish you would have said that one time. It would have been amazing. God damn it. God damn it,
stop.
Dick. Would you just fucking stop playing that piano. You can't play worse shit. And then Alfred comes in. Boys. Voiced by Bruce Valanche. Boys. That's a missed opportunity. Bruce Valanche is Alfred. No, let's get into it, man. I mean, your memories of 60s Batman, of the mod era, mod era, wacky out there Batman, like surreal Batman,
right?
Weird Batman, different Batman,
right.
Funny Batman. I enjoyed it when I was a kid. I remember watching those reruns, and I remember seeing it and just watching him and being like, yeah, cool, you know, and getting into it.
It was fun to watch.
They were fighting bad guys.
I didn't have that much of that. I could not detect cheesiness or campiness that much.
Oh,
when I
know
I was
you
a kid.
I know exactly what you mean. It's like, whatever, dude, I watch cartoons. Like, what the fuck do I know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And I don't know, it was cool. You know, they dress up in fucking costumes.
Yeah,
it's fucking weird.
It's drama. It's funny. Like, they could get hurt. They hurt other people. They're good guys. Yeah. It's like the Lone Ranger. It's like fucking The Shadow. It's like any of that stuff. It's like, but you know,
you got insane bad guys.
Yeah, totally. And you got like a rogues gallery of really interesting villains that you want to check out. Like, yeah, I mean, like he's, you know, and it was the 60s, and they were playing with the color, and they were playing with, like, the vibrance of it. And Eartha Kitt as Catwoman was very, you know, it was like, oh, my God, Eartha Kitt's Catwoman, and she's got a weird little sexual thing going on with Adam West. And they're both dancing together, and you're like, ooh, what's going on with Batman and Catwoman? And even in the 60s, it was, like, hinted at, you know.
Right.
It was really cool. It was forward-thinking, but to think it was only 3 years, 3 seasons that it was on, plus a movie, and that was it. And the rest of his life, he was Batman. But, you know, he still voiced the character in some shit, which I think is cool.
Right.
That's, like, even better. That makes it – that's, like, the icing on the cake. It's, like, now he's doing the voice for Batman in the Lego versions or whatever or the mayor or whatever. It's, like, that's dope, like, that he was doing that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that he got to reprise the role and still be in it. He really wanted to be in the Tim Burton version of Batman.
That would have been crazy.
Back in the day, right? Whoa. He campaigned for it. Tim Burton originally was going for a Bill Murray type, and then landed on Michael Keaton because Tim Burton wanted to cast somebody that would actually be like crazy enough to dress up like a bat and go fight crime.
Right.
And so that's why he casted Michael Keaton. But Adam West, people had identified him with the campiness of the show so much that Tim Burton just, and he felt that Adam West at the time was too old even. So they were like, no, we're sorry. We're going to go with Michael Keaton. Sorry. And so he, you know, he was kind of bummed. You could tell, I mean, that would bum me out too. If it's like, hey, I'm still kind of relevant. I'm still here.
Right.
I'm old enough to do it. Well, let's go. And it's like, sorry, man, but no, but he got to reprise the role later on, and he had a great career after that. I mean, granted, it was like, you know, he sort of got to lampoon himself a bit, but he was in. Adam West was always in on the joke.
Right.
He was always in on the joke. And it wasn't like he was aloof and he didn't know that people were goofing.
Right. Well,
like,
yeah, just,
like, he knew he was funny.
Just watch the movie, man. It's so apparent.
Oh my god, it's ridiculous. It's so funny too. Yeah. When you watch it now as a grown up, like, oh, this is fucking this is just slapstick. This is like Marx Brothers.
Right.
This is literally just like Three Stooges, but Batman and Robin. And it made it fun to laugh at Batman.
Yeah.
Classic shark
repellent bat spray.
Oh my god, I just realized that's how the Joker sees Batman. Is the 1960s TV show. The Joker in real life, not in real life, but in the whatever universe, when he looks at Batman and he looks at the world, that's what it is, that's what it's like, is the campy 1960s Batman. That's what's going on in the Joker's head. That's why, to him, it's a joke, and that's why he's laughing. He's like, look how funny this is. This isn't real. This is ridiculous. Whoa. Mind blown. Boom. Thank you for that, Adam West, and thank you for blessing us with such a beautiful performance, an amazing life, a wonderful life.
Yeah.
And so much that you've given us. We're eternally grateful as nerds, really. Can't gush enough about Adam West. It's definitely the end of an era for one Batman, but it's the beginning of an era for new Batman and moving forward. What?
Yep. Gotta move forward.
I was hoping you would agree with me because I was worried that it was the wrong thing to say. I wanted to be like, yeah, well, you know, it's like, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's sad, but it's like he would want us to move forward and be happy with that franchise, and he would want us to, you know what I mean? he'd be like, go and enjoy Batman, like, yeah. Go and enjoy my work, go and rewatch my shit, go and get to know who I was, and you know, like, go and watch the new Batman, and like, it's a part of his life, it is his existence, you know, and again, Batman has not died, ladies and gentlemen, he has simply changed form yet again. Adam West is now the bright knight. Of our universe, and he will shine his bright light upon us from above. So thank you, Adam West, and I hate saying it because I feel like it's like religious and weird, but it's like, I'm like, God bless you, sir. It's like, but well, it's the only thing I can think of.
It's a figure of speech.
Yeah, it's basically a figure of speech. Really, it's just like, thanks a lot. Like, you did so much. Thanks a lot. No. thanks a lot, Adam West. Damn it. No.
I mean, you know, it's the sentiment. You know?
It's really, it's the sentiment that's meant. So.
Yeah, it's like, God bless you. You know how you feel when
honestly,
you say, God bless you?
Yeah, honestly. It's like,
that's
God bless you, Adam
West. That's how we feel.
Yeah, God bless you.
That's how we feel.
So let's move along. Let's shake off the sadness, because like, he would want us to move forward and be happy and be nerdy and enjoy our lives, you know? Like,
I'm sure.
Of course, he was such a bright human being, and he was always laughing and smiling. So let's move on. Let's go into the next story. Now we might get a little controversial. This might get a little controversial. So we might be switching some gears, some idea gears. Getting the right actor to take on any role is never an easy task, especially when the role already has an established legacy behind it, such is the case with the villain of Disney's Aladdin, Jafar, who stands as one of the most notable baddies in their animated canon. But the director of the live-action remake, Guy Ritchie, that's right, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, what else, the Sherlock movies with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law, Guy Ritchie, who did Snatched as well, Brad Pitt, apparently has the perfect actor in mind to play the dastardly sorcerer, Jafar, who's from an Arabian country.
Right.
Tom Hardy. Remember how I said, like, if they're going to do Aladdin, they need to do it like Jon Favreau has been doing the Jungle Book, and he's been casting Mowgli appropriately, and how, you know, like, he's casting animals to play the animals. And Jafar isn't Tom Hardy. Jafar is Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
Ben Kingsley is Jafar. He's an older man. He's a king. He's got this great, you know, but he's pompous and arrogant, and, you know, you could play with that he's older and he dyes his hair and shit or whatever. You could play with that whole thing. And he's very vain. That's, and he's closer to what you're looking for Jafar.
Right.
But Tom Hardy, and I hate to be like, oh, let's fucking, like, totally just take the wind out of their sails. But remember what I said about Guy Ritchie? If he's going to be doing Aladdin, he better cast all Middle Eastern or Arabian actors, people from that area.
Yeah.
Like, people who are appropriate to that, even if it's fucking Aziz Ansari playing Jafar, it's like, I'd rather have that than Tom Hardy, because it just doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. It just doesn't make sense to cast Tom Hardy as a character that... It's like, I'm like, dude, it's... Give the people of that area, of that nation, and the people of that lineage and that culture, the story you're telling, give them that stage. Give them the spotlight.
This is the United...
This is a chance. This is your chance.
Like, you know... Well, Disney's, like, based in the U.S.,
right? But,
again,
this is according to the report by the U.K.'s The Sun.
Uh-huh.
So it could be
serious
shit.
Serious journalist.
It could be shit. Again, right. This could be shit. We could be jumping the gun, and we're sorry, Guy Ritchie, if we're jumping the gun. But The Sun's... U.K.'s The Sun. Ritchie is supposedly very interested in hiring actor Tom Hardy to play the main baddie in his reimagining of the beloved classic. Though nothing official has yet come of it, sources say Hardy is one of the director's top choices. Guy is a huge fan of Tom's work, and securing him would be a major coup. There have been conversations, and although nothing is set in stone and things are subject to change, he's certainly one of Guy's favored choices. One of the guy's favored choices. It just depends on schedules, whether he'll be able to sign up. Hardy is obviously a gifted actor, and he should be on any list for possible candidates to play any part in any movie. He can do anything. He's fucking Tom Hardy. Who could be Batman even though he played Bane? Tom Hardy. Who could play the Joker even though he was Batman? Tom Hardy. Sorry. Who is Mad Max? Tom Hardy. But Hardy's casting is not a hard thing to picture at all. The actor has starred in several franchises like Star Trek Nemesis, The Dark Knight Rises, Mad Max. He was almost in Suicide Squad. Then he dropped out. He was almost in the Venom movie, but then he dropped out. Him being interested in a villain role for a big movie like this is well within the realm of possibility, especially given the opportunity to work with fellow Englishmen like Ritchie. However, I'm not putting a ton of stock into Hardy's official casting in this role, not because I can't see him taking on another bad guy role in a blockbuster, but because I can't see him doing one in a children's musical. Being the intense actor he is, he could easily be too frightening for children, even if it would be awesome for adults to see, and they would be. But it would still be inappropriate for what they're doing with Aladdin. What if you casted Aziz Ansari as Huckleberry Finn? You know how pissed off people would be? Yeah. They'd be like, what the fuck? You got Aziz Ansari playing Huckleberry Finn? That's a Mark Twain classic. How dare you? Get out of my country. Like, it's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you're going to cast? Like, look, I know it's The Sun, and I know it's an idea, and I know this might be just, like, bullshit. It might just be a misdirection. Do you think Guy Ritchie would do that? Do you think he would cast somebody like Tom Hardy to play Jafar? And do you think he would cast people not of that region or that lineage to play those roles? Guy Ritchie, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, Sherlock Holmes, some other shit.
I mean,
Snatched. Sorry, I forgot. Snatched. Saying it. Say it.
Snatched.
Yeah.
Snatched.
Okay, stop. It's gross. What?
he seems like. I don't know. He seems like he'd.
Like he wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like he would have Tom Hardy play Jafar.
Right.
I think this is like maybe a studio leak. Like, let's see what people think.
Right.
Let's see how the nerds react. Well, here's how we're reacting. Don't cast Tom Hardy as a role that he is not, like, he's an Tom Hardy's an Englishman.
Yeah.
Don't cast him as Jafar. Jafar's name is Jafar. That's not Tom Hardy.
Yeah, do something Middle Eastern.
God damn it. Does it take, like, we already said Ben Kingsley, boom.
Yeah.
Get Ben Kingsley, you're good. Because he could play Jafar. Think about it. Who could play Jafar? Ben Kingsley. That's it. I can't think of anybody else. I already did it for you, Hollywood. You're welcome. You're fucking welcome.
But I guess maybe they want big names or something
Ben Kingsley is a big name. He was the Mandarin.
Ben Kingsley is the big
He was the
big
Mandarin
name.
In Iron Man, and everyone saw that. And then they saw the offshoot, The remember when he was in prison as the actor in prison? It was awesome. You guys got to check that out. It's on YouTube. It's one of the Marvel one shots. They'll do it for random ass characters. They'll give them like a quick like 15-20 minute like short.
I
can't remember the name of it, but it's a little like addition.
I've got to watch it.
It's about the Mandarin or whatever. I can't remember the name of it, but it stars Ben Kingsley and it's a comedy. It's about his actor character from that movie.
So somebody, like,
but get him to play Jafar. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he used to be on the top of the list.
Either him or fucking or go different. If it's Jafar, why not even go different and get Ken Watanabe?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool.
Well, yeah, regardless.
Go different on it. Be like Jafar. Okay, why not? He's from a far-off land. Jafar.
Yeah. Regardless, I guess I think the name Aladdin, you know, will draw in like a bit.
If Channing Tatum is cast as Aladdin, I'm leaving the planet. I can't live on Earth anymore. Channing Tatum is Aladdin. Tom Hardy is Jafar. Who's a completely inappropriate lady to play?
I'm just a poor street rat.
Yeah. Riff Raff, street rat. I don't buy that. Sorry, I'm trying to be Channing Tatum singing. But actually, he can sing really well. He did a great job in the Coen Brothers movie. Gabagadee. That's not the name of it. It's a comedy. Tom Hardy's in, not he's not in it. Channing Tate's is with Josh Brolin. Took place in the 50s. It was about the movies. It was a comedy film by the Coen Brothers. Can't remember. This is my song about not remembering the title of it. Leave below in the comments what the title of that movie was.
Anyway,
it was about old time movies, and Channing Tatum was able to sing in it. But he is not Aladdin, so do not cast someone like Channing Tate to play Aladdin. That's bullshit. It's stupid and it's wrong, and I don't agree with it. And it's fucking things up. Quit doing this shit, Armando. Thoughts?
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, regardless.
Sorry. I mean, what are your thoughts, please?
Regardless, people are gonna see it because it's Aladdin. And it's Disney.
It's Disney. That's the thing. It's Disney produced, so it's going to have that Disney look. Mm-hmm. Disney, you know how Disney is. They own Star Wars and Marvel, and I think the show, too. I think they own everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to have that sleek, nice Disney look and feel where you're going to be like, yeah.
Right.
It's like opening a new – it's like getting a new computer, and like it's the latest one or a new phone, and you're like, you take the plastic off, you're like, yeah. It's like it's like Disney's gonna really get.
I mean, I don't think it really matters that much if like a huge name is in it, you know?
No, it doesn't. They should cast people who are appropriate for the roles because the
and
cartoon had people.
And there, that frees you up to like audition people that are like really fucking like actually like a legit talented.
I think they had white actors voice the characters except for Jasmine.
Uh-huh.
Robin Williams, I loved him as the genie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I loved Robin Williams as the genie.
Well,
and that's okay because the genie is a spirit.
Right.
So Robin Williams is like such a fucking like character and was such a character when rest in peace, Robin Williams, that for him to play the genie was like, well, he's otherworldly. You know,
right.
Like he's that good. He's that crazy.
Right.
Let's have
that
him be
doesn't
that genie.
Matter. Yeah.
That's cool. Ooh, who would you want to play the genie?
Jesus.
Holy fuckballs.
How do you follow that act, huh?
Robin Williams?
Do you want it to be somewhat like the like the animated movie? Jeez.
Good God almighty. You can't do it.
I don't know. Maybe you
can't be done.
Maybe you have to do just the whole
You're going to have to take the audio.
You have to reboot the genie.
You have to take the audio from Robin Williams playing the genie.
Just splice it.
Splice it in with a new CGI genie. And I'm sorry, it's not going to work with that Robin Williams voiceover. I'm sorry, no one will want it, no one will like it. Whoever they get to be the new genie, they'll be like comparing them to Robin Williams no matter what they do, even though it's a live-action version. It sucks, it's bullshit, and it's unfair to the actor who's going to play the part. It's like Jared Leto when he took over the Joker. It's like, oh, Heath Ledger. It's like, come on, give him a fucking chance.
Mm.
His Joker wasn't that great, though. It wasn't his fault, it was the movie.
Mm.
Not the movie. Maybe the studio, but we don't know.
Oh,
we're still figuring it out.
Do you remember, like, I think for the sequel Aladdin movies, the guy who did the voice of Homer.
Did the voice of
the genie.
Robin Williams's genie. And
yeah.
He did the TV show, too. I remember there's an Aladdin TV show. And the guy who played Aladdin was a white guy. Yeah, the voiceover.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not that concerned about that.
Ah, the voiceover, no, but the live action, yeah. And yeah. Even for the genie, I'm like, eh, the genie could be otherworldly, so it could be anyone. It could be John Leguizamo. I love John Leguizamo. Put him in anything. The only one who can replace Robin Williams is John Leguizamo. Get him on the phone now. Put, I want Leguizamo on the horn 10 minutes ago. Sorry.
They're going to have a Middle Eastern guy do the motion capture for the magic carpet.
That's cool. We'll get Deep Roy. You know Deep Roy? He did all the Tim Burton movies. He was the Oompa Loompa. We'll get Deep Roy. He's great. He'll do it. He's Indonesian, though. White people can't tell the difference. They're fucking racist.
Wait, that is
not just
true.
White people. That's not true. Not just white people. All people are a little racist.
I do say, yeah.
Everyone, there's a musical, there's a musical called Avenue Q, and it's a puppet musical. And in this musical, there's a song called Everybody's a Little Racist. And it was a funny comedy song about everybody's a little racist, you know, like, and they made jokes about it. And they also had another song called The Internet is for Porn, which I really agreed with. I was like, yeah, the internet is for porn. Porn, porn, porn. It's really catchy. Avenue Q, check it out. But the thing is that when it comes to race in this film, you cannot cast a white actor to play any of the living human parts. Maybe the genie could be a white guy. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know who. Russell Brand.
Right.
Hello, Aladdin. Chim Chim Chiroo.
Well, it's
three
just
wishes
like,
you get, you do.
You have these characters.
I'm all I'm that did.
You have these
I do. Sorry.
Characters that are so iconic. And, you know, people have, like, memories.
Is Guy Ritchie fucked? Yes or no? Answer the question.
Yes.
Yeah, he's kind of fucked, isn't he? No matter what he does. He's already in a weird place if he's considering Tom Hardy for Jafar. I don't know if that's true or not, but the son says, so whatever the son says, you gotta take it as is. Guy Ritchie's King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, is in theaters now. Starring a bunch of English guys, because it's about King Arthur, and that's an English
that's
guy.
That's appropriate.
You know, if they put fucking Aziz Ansari as King Arthur, just people would be like, yeah. Bloody right, this is wrong, bloody hell.
This is bollocks.
Bollocks, bollocks and blimey, blimey bollocks and bloody fuck, tits, cunts, all of you cunts, Aziz Ansari. So check it out, Guy Ritchie's King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, it's in theaters now. So, final thoughts. What do you think? It's fucked. We agreed.
Yeah, it's fucked.
All right. Moving along. I'm pissed again. Another thing I'm pissed off about. Mm. We did a reaction video to Star Trek Enterprise. Not Enterprise. Sorry. We definitely didn't do a reaction to that. Because if we did, that would probably still be up. We did a reaction video to Star Trek Discovery, the first look trailer. It was taken down. Mm. They didn't tell me why. They just took it down. Mm. And I'm pissed off about that. Because I'm excited about the new Star Trek TV series, Star Trek Discovery. Star Trek's going to make its hopefully triumphant return to television, sort of. Unfortunately, thanks to the frequent delays and production issues, it would be understandable if your enthusiasm for the upcoming Star Trek Discovery was somewhat lessened. We may have a reason why they took it down. As a lifelong Star Trek fan, I'm still very excited to see what Star Trek Discovery is all about, despite my griefs about them taking our fucking reaction down.
Right.
But I'd be lying if I didn't admit that the departure of Brian Fuller wasn't disappointing. That's the thing. Fuller originally signed on to create the series and run the show, but due to having too much on his plate juggling the development of both Star Trek Discovery and American Gods, which is a great show, check out American Gods. Fuller stepped down as showrunner and then later departed Discovery altogether. Quite a lot of work had already been done on developing the series when Brian Fuller left, but it wasn't known just how much of his original vision would survive. And while speaking with Collider, Alex Kurtzman was asked whether Brian Fuller's footprints would still be noticeable. No, absolutely there are footprints left on the show. What? No, absolutely there are footprints left on the show. That's a what? Contradictory statement already. Someone once described Brian to me as a unicorn, and that's just the truth. He's a one-of-a-kind writer. He's just unbelievably brilliant, and I really, really loved working with him, and I loved seeing the way that his mind worked. Brian was very involved in American Gods, and I think that the scope and scale of what Trek has become made it so that Brian elected to say, I don't want to shortchange either of these two things. They're both sort of beloved to him. So we sat down, and we figured out how we're going to take blah, 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 blah. This is boring the shit out of me. The series still doesn't have a firm release date. They're currently shooting episode 5 of their 15-episode first season, but it's expected that Star Trek Discovery will finally debut this fall. Alex Kurtzman addressed the frequent delays, and that's probably why they took it down, was because of the delay on that one. Mm. But still, saying that the reason stems from wanting to give this series all the time it needed in order to be the best Star Trek show it can be. We postponed our schedule, they go on to say. The truth is, we did not want to put out something that was subpar. And as the vision expanded, we started feeling like we weren't going to be able to deliver the scope and the scale that was on the page. And CBS was extremely supportive in saying, okay, you know what? This is streaming. It's not like we have to beat out right away. Let's do the best version of this. Trek is too important for all of us. Kurtzman also teased that a great many celebrities have expressed an interest in appearing on the show. So many actors are fans, Kurtzman said. We literally got a list of them that were like, here are people who said they want to be on Star Trek. It was awesome to just be in an episode or come in or out. Looks like we'll need to keep our eyes peeled for sneaky cameos. As for Alex Kurtzman's other projects, he directed Tom Cruise in The Mummy, which is now playing in theaters. We did trailer reactions for that. Check it out. You might want to see it some other time.
Yeah.
Make sure to check out a review from us on The Mummy later on.
Sometime.
From one of our late-ass reviews, which happens very late-ass in the future. So here's what I think is going to happen, Armando. I think they're going to completely reboot this entire thing. And that first look we saw, they're just going to scrap all that, maybe keep bits and pieces of it, add all the celebrities who want to join in, reboot what they were going to reboot, and then just start from scratch. Maybe, like with the footprints or with the foundation that Brian Fuller left. I think, because there was no, I can't think of any other reason why someone would take down our reaction video. Like, literally just take it down and just say, no, we're not letting you. And then I disputed it. And normally when I dispute it, they're like, well, okay, fine. But they didn't on this one. They let me dispute it, but they were like, sorry, but no, it's our content. And they use their T card, as I call it, because I don't like saying the word anymore because of what it... Anyway, so because of that, I'm pissed off about it, but I understand, because if it's not going to be released when they said it was going to be released and we did a reaction video to it.
Right.
But the problem is I spent a while working on that, and we worked on that too. And then I had to sit down and edit it and post it and put it up. And it took me time to do that and work on it. So, it's not just, the people who work on the show you're affecting. It's the fans in a weird way. And the people who work on this, because I worked really hard on that video. And I posted it, and we were getting a lot of views for it and likes. And then out of nowhere, it was just down. And I got an email that said, oh, sorry, but it's down. And I worked really hard on it. Had I known that this show wasn't going to happen, I wouldn't have even done a reaction video to it.
Right.
But and then once I did it and I posted it, then they just removed it.
Yeah, it doesn't.
That's shitty.
Yeah, it doesn't
seem like... I'm sorry, but I think that's shitty.
It doesn't seem like they should be able to do that.
No, they shouldn't, but they did.
Yeah, do they have any justification?
Nope, they had no justification other than it was, oh, it's our content, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, but we're not taking credit for it. We didn't say that we're accepting money for it. We don't accept money for our trailer reactions.
Right.
But for this podcast you're listening to right now, we will accept donations. That's right, we have a PayPal account right on our website, yotina.podomatic.com. That's right, yotina.podomatic.com. Click that PayPal button, and whatever you donate to the show, 50%, that's right, half of every donation, will benefit the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund. It's a great cause, helping women out all over the world and in America with ovarian cancer problems, such as research, treatment, and funding. Be sure to check out their website, theocrf.com, if you want to just donate directly to them. Otherwise, you can donate to us. Half of that money goes to them. You get guilt-free laughs. You help support the show. You help support people with problems. Not just us, but other people with real problems.
Yeah, real problems.
Real problems, not just our mental problems.
Not just Star Wars problems.
Yeah, but, I mean, we weren't making money off of that. I mean, but the donations and the Google AdSense, that stuff that plays, we do make some kind of profit off of that. It's not much. It's enough to get by and help the show keep going. But... it's not enough to be like, we are rich off of Star Trek. Simply off of that one reaction video. We're rolling in the YouTube dollars.
Yeah, far from it.
All the theoretical YouTube money. You really showed us, CBS. What does it stand for? Central Broadcasting Station?
There's
Systems?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what
corporate broadcasting.
I'm not sure what the
syndrome.
What the C stands for? What's broadcasting?
Commie broadcasting station, bunch of commies. No. Take that, CBS, with your Star Treks. Yeah, I'm calling you out, CBS. How dare you take down a reaction video? We worked hard on that shit. It does suck, though. I'm not gonna lie. I am kind of pissed about that. So I did want to air my grievances about that. But also, it is kind of shitty that they don't like Brian Fuller left, and I was excited for what he was gonna do. I was a bit underwhelmed by the trailer, but I was looking forward to more.
Right.
We liked it. Yeah. We ultimately liked it. We were looking forward to seeing more.
Yeah, yeah.
But now we won't.
I wanted to see more.
So fuck it. We will, but later, because they've delayed it.
Right.
So whatever. But anyway, what do you think, Armando? Final thoughts on the delays and what they're doing with Star Trek and why they're delaying it and blah, blah, blah. Do you think they're going to just completely overhaul this shit? Overall.
Well, maybe that's what it looks like.
It's starting to feel like it, isn't it?
Yeah, overhaul. I mean, I would hope it has. I would love something with an old Star Trek feel. I was really excited.
Dude, I think the fucking Seth MacFarlane.
Right. That's what I was about to say.
Go to our YouTube channel, Simmer Mike, again, all caps, no space, Simmer Mike. Like we're yelling at you, Simmer Mike. Subscribe, download for free. Really help us out. We do a trailer reaction to The Orville.
Yes.
It's a sci-fi TV series
Fox. That's what I was about to
it's
say.
It's coming to Fox. Yeah, I knew you were about to say it, but I wanted to like get it, all the information out there.
Right.
Written, directed by Seth MacFarlane, starring Seth MacFarlane, about a shitty... It's like, dude, it's like, I was like, remember when we were talking about this, and I think in the reaction we said, dude, if they were going to do a Star Trek rebooted series, the only way they could do this, because the movies are so good and they have a whole thing going on with the new movies,
right. The
TV show has to be campy and funny and dumb, and it has to be kind of like self-aware of itself and just go for the laughs.
Right.
They're doing it with this series, but it's more of like a next generation thing that they're doing, which is fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I really wanted what Seth MacFarlane is doing, but I wanted it like as a Star Trek series, Star Trek related, because it would be the funny version of Star Trek.
Right.
So, and you could still have those Star Trek characters and beings come in and not call them, instead of the Klingons, they're the Klingoffs. You know there's going to be a joke where they're going to say the Klingoffs.
Right.
We're the Klingoffs. We're not the other ones, no. We're not those guys. We're off of the... We don't stay... We don't hang on, you know? We don't crash on your couch and don't leave. We have our own apartment. Sorry. I was just thinking about myself at one point. Anyway, no, I'm down for what Seth MacFarlane's going to do. I was down for the Discovery show, but it seems like they don't even know what the fuck they're going to do.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we got ideas.
Yep.
We've got some ideas.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. Star Trek.
Star Trek ideas. So, I hope they don't fuck it up. I mean, Brian Fuller, it's like, I'm glad he's like, you know what? I need to give this, like, someone needs to give this their full attention. I can't. It needs that. I got to go. Right. And they're like, all right, fine. We'll just do it with somebody else. He's like, all right, I'm going to go work on American Gods, which is going way better. And they're like, fuck, it is. American Gods is going so good. He's like, I know. I got to go work on that. They're like, all right, peace. Thanks, dog. And he's like, thanks, y'all.
Yeah.
And they're like, cool. We cool. So, and then the fans are like, we cool. American Gods is dope. We want you to do a good American Gods. So who should take over the new Star Trek series as the showrunner? Joss Whedon. Yay.
Hey.
Because Joss Whedon did Buffy and Avengers, and he's doing Justice League.
Yeah,
he's not doing Justice League. He's helping Zack Snyder develop Justice League.
Right.
Because Zack Snyder did the bulk of it. He's just helping do reshoots and finish it up.
Yeah, he's doing everything, man.
He's doing a lot. He's doing Batgirl next.
Yeah.
Fuck. He did both Avenger movies that are out. There's only two Avengers movies, and he did both of them.
Right.
Fuck, man. Yeah, he can't do it. I'm sorry. Whedon deserves his break. He needs to go make that World War II horror movie. We reported it. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
He's going to do a World War II horror movie. I'm like, yes. So go make that movie. I can't wait. Showrunner for this? I don't know. You could go old school, get JJ back, have him run this show, get him to do Star Trek. Honestly, I just think the comedic version from Seth MacFarlane is going to be the one I want.
Yeah.
I don't need this. Like, serious Star Trek is great, but funny Star Trek, that's like chocolate and peanut butter. It's like, yeah, peanut butter's great. Chocolate's great. but when you mix chocolate and peanut butter, I kind of want to eat that forever. Sorry. It's just a me thing. I'm hungry. Haven't eaten all day. I gotta get some food. Worked earlier. Look, it's not about me. It's not about me. I'm working hard for this show, working hard for you here at Team Awesome Inc. Don't forget to follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Armando Arround is here. Mike Zimmer joining you. We're 5 minutes past the hour. Sorry, I've always wanted to. It's been a while since I've done that. I used to do live broadcasting.
Traffic on the ones.
We used to have to report that, man. I used to, every fucking 15 minutes, I'd have to do the traffic and the weather. And, oh, my God. It's so freeing to be like, fuck you. I'll do whatever I want. Do what I want, bitches. Suck a dick. Team Awesome Inc. 5 years of awesome. You're all. I don't know. No, we don't have to high five. They can't see it.
Yeah, they.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll go Kool-Aid on that one. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we're not. Are we oh, yeah, or oh, no on this?
On what? Star Trek?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would have liked to see it come out, but if they're not.
If they're delaying it because they want it to be better. Good.
Yeah. If they're like, you know. Oh, yeah. It's like if you're in the middle of a drawing and you don't want anybody to see it because it looks stupid.
And then
right
you're like,
now.
Hey, could you finish this for me? And you hand it off to a friend. They're like, actually, yeah, I got an idea. And then they. It's like, okay, cool. It's like, then they go and they go off and do another thing. That's kind of funny. Like, that's kind of like how work is. It's like, hey, I'm having trouble with this project. Can you help me? And they're like, yeah, I'll finish it. And you're like, all right, good. And you walk away. And then you go do something else that you're working on. And they're like, I'll just finish it for you. not to relate that to anybody else, because like other people are having serious problems in the entertainment industry, and we recognize that, and we support that. We want them to get better.
Yes.
And you know who we're talking about, nerds. We got your back, Zach. Neither Elysium nor Chappie garnered the sort of praise which District 9 received, but for Neil Blomkamp, and I'm still not sure how to say his name, Neil Blomkamp, it's the failure of Chappie which stings the most. A sci-fi flick followed an artificially intelligent law enforcement robot nicknamed Chappie as he was captured and taught by gangsters. While speaking with Den of Geek, Blomkamp opened up about the critical and commercial failure of the movie, saying that it was unbelievably painful for me, as he thought that he had succeeded in making the film which he had in his head. But the thing with Chappie was, it felt like it was extremely close to the film I had in my head up until the film came out. I felt like I had given my all and that I'd tried my hardest to make the film I had in my head, and I felt like I achieved that. It put me in an interesting place where I was needing to decide how I felt. When I create a piece of artwork that I feel positive about, and then the audience really rejects it, what does that mean? That puts you in an incredibly interesting space. I'm not judging the film based on box office merits or pure Rotten Tomatoes scores. I'm doing it because I love it, and I'm basing it how I feel about it on what it makes me feel. Creating art is an interesting thing. Not everyone is going to like what you do, but if you create for yourself and produce something that you're happy with, I would count that as a success. Of course, I'm not a film director with the responsibility of generating a return for the studio and satisfying fans on top of that shit. Neil Blomkamp admits that his previous film, Elysium, wasn't actually that good. Even he says that, and I liked it. I was like, it's all right. I enjoyed Elysium and Chappie. I didn't think they were that bad either. I didn't think either of them were that bad. I think he's being really hard on himself. I think Neil Blomkamp's just beating himself up. Yeah. Pity party for Neil Blomkamp. Party of one. Pity party of one. Name Blomkamp first, Neil.
All right, stop, man. Stop.
Come on,
lay
Neil.
Off. Lay off.
Let me call a ambulance for you to take you home, Neil Blomkamp. Would you like some steak with your wine? Sorry. I know. Dad jokes on the show. But look, the reason for Chappie existing in Neil Blomkamp's mind was because it was the most farcical, weird, comic, non-serious pop culture tone that is almost mocking or making fun of the fact that it's talking about the deepest things you can talk about. He goes on to say, the fact that those two things exist in the same film is what the film is about, because that's what the experience of life is about. It's an unknowable quest, and no one's going to answer it for you. So it's almost a grand joke, in a sense. That was the main thing. People confuse that by saying the film was tonally all over the map. And it's because they couldn't comprehend that the tone was existing as one, united thing. It was saying, here's the most important thing you can talk about, wrapped up in a farcical giant joke that looks like we're all having a big laugh. And that was the point, because that's how I view life in general. All right, fair enough. I certainly don't find Chappie to be Blomkamp's best work, but neither consider the film to be a disappointment. It's clunky, and nowhere near as profound as Blomkamp seems to think it is. But there's plenty to like about a naive robot search for purpose and family. Hugh Jackman's bitch and mullet certainly doesn't hurt either. I love that mullet in that movie. I really did. Hugh Jackman's mullet in Chappie was off the fucking chain. It was like, yah.
I'm going to have to Google that.
Business in the front. Fucking orgy in the back. It's a Hugh Jackman orgy in the back. Chappie. whenever we often will cover directors who come back and say, I'm sorry. Look, I'm sorry I made that movie. Remember, I was with Suicide Squad. David Ayer. He's like, look, I'm sorry I made it. I probably should have made the Joker the main bad guy. Look, I'm sorry. I fucked up. I'm sorry. Now Blomkamp's doing it with this movie.
Well, I like it when anybody admits that they fucked up.
Even Shia LaBeouf was like, yeah, Transformers movies are bullshit. And it's like, wow. And then he said, yeah, King of the Crystal Skull sucked. I'm like, whoa, Shia LaBeouf's kind of like on the nose with this. Like, do I not like him or do I like him? Oh, I'm so conflicted about Shia. All you gotta do is watch that video, Shia LaBeouf.
Yep.
The
I know.
The live performance for the people who are not in the know. Shia LaBeouf. Running in the woods is Shia LaBeouf. Go watch it. We should do a reaction video to that. No, we've already seen it. We can't. Damn
yeah,
it.
Well,
anyway,
can't do.
I mean, did you ever see Chappie?
I didn't see Chappie, no.
It's like, if anyone's familiar with Short Circuit, it's like Short Circuit, but if it was a police robot, it's like Short Circuit and RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
Except he was, it's like the RoboCop was rejected and thrown away, but it wasn't a human.
Right.
But he was thrown away and rejected because he sucked.
Right.
And then he was turned on by some guy and given a consciousness.
Well, wasn't Johnny Five supposed to be for military purposes?
Yeah. But he... Yeah, it's kind of a Short Circuit ripoff. Fuck! I was trying to defend Neil Blomkampfy. Neil Blumpkin. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Whenever Neil does a bad movie, it's not Neil Blomkampf. It's Neil Blumpkin. And if you don't know what Blumpkin is, check out the Urban Dictionary. It's when you get a blowjob and you're taking a shit. Anyway, moving along to the next story. No, so that's what Chappie was about. I hate it when directors are... I mean, look, I get it. If you make a bad movie and people are upset and you come forward and say, look, I'm sorry I made a bad movie, that's cool. But George Lucas has never apologized for the fucking prequels ever. He's never said sorry. He's never said... And the thing is, he doesn't have to.
Well, yeah.
Neil Blomkamp doesn't have to... Neil Blumkin doesn't have to apologize for his shit. David Aviator doesn't have to fucking apologize for Suicide Squad. They don't have to apologize for the movies that they make.
Right.
The only reason why they're apologizing for it is because they're feeling pressure from nerds. People like us who are hypercritical of them. Now, I don't think they should have to appeal. They should have to apologize to us. I feel like they just need to try and fight to make those movies better.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Well, no,
and the studios need to listen to their directors, because these guys are doing great work and they're getting their balls chopped off. I'm sure Zack Snyder was up to some great shit with Batman v Superman. I'm sure he wanted to call it Batman versus Superman.
Right.
Or just Dawn of Justice. He probably just wanted to call it Dawn of Justice.
Right.
The studio's like, no, we'll never have that. Batman v Superman. Who knows? Like, maybe Zack Snyder had a whole other thing and Warner Brothers just stepped in and stepped all over his dick on it, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, things have changed now and it's different. So we can move forward with the DC issues. What I'm saying with Chappie is that I think I just feel bad for Neil Blomkamp on this one. I just do. Anytime a director comes forward, it's like, I'm sorry, guys. I should have done better. I meant to do this, but it came out this way. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm like, you don't have to apologize. You're an artist.
Well, yeah, that's good.
And if you want to, you can, but you don't have to, is what I'm saying. It's like, it's not necessary, but I appreciate it. As nerds, we appreciate it, right?
Yeah.
Do you accept... his apology? Do you accept Neil Blumkin's apology?
Well, I
for
mean,
Chappie, and even though you
well,
didn't see
I wasn't feeling pissed to begin with.
Were you mad at him?
I
was really mad.
I was not.
Boy,
mad
I was. You know me. I was so mad about Chappie. I was actually like, hey, have you seen Chappie? It's pretty good. I was like, did you see Elysium? I mean, a lot of people talk shit, but I like it. Like, I was actually always supportive of those movies because I like the stories that they're telling. Like Elysium was like, I was always like, you and me talked about the future and like, yeah, all the rich people are going to live on Mars or live on a space station, a space nation. We talked about a conspiracy theory. So look, Neil Blomkamp is awesome. He's going to make great movies. I'm sorry I keep calling him Blomkin. But a blowjob while taking a shit sounds like an awesome thing. Like a good blowjob with a good bowel movement. Come on. I don't care how gross that is. That sounds like a good American time.
I'm not often self-conscious, but I think I would be self-conscious in that situation.
Here's the trick. Vapo-rub. I'll leave it at that. Moving along. It's a mystery. What's the Vapo-rub for? Where do you put it? With Spider-Man Homecoming. That's right. More Tom Holland news, y'all. Spider-Man Homecoming set to web-sling its way into theaters next month. We're finally figuring out what the fuck a Zendaya is. I mispronounced her name. We're finally figuring out what the fuck a Zendaya is. For once and for all, Armando Aranda. We know she's an actress in Spider-Man Homecoming, but now we know what the fuck she's doing in it. Yeah. What is a Zendaya?
What is a Zendaya?
Well, here we go. It's been revealed in the book the full name of Zendaya's character is Michelle Tomes. That's right. She's related to Michael Keaton's character, Adrian Tomes, a.k.a. the Vulture. One would go so far as to assume that she's his daughter. So far, we've not witnessed any scenes in the varying trailers of Keaton and Zendaya sharing the same screen, though perhaps Sony and Marvel have been holding off on the reveal in the hope that the character's identity would not surface until closer to the film's official release. However, I give all of those who are close to the film credit for keeping this reveal a secret for as long as they did. Now that we know the deal, it will be interesting to see how Michael and the Vulture's fam... That's something I was missing from the movie. He was talking about his family ties. Mm-hmm. I didn't know Zendaya was in this movie. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's supposed to be some big reveal and it's some big plot twist that she's the daughter of the Vulture or whatever... If her name is Michelle Tomes in the movie...
Okay.
If you go and research Michelle Tomes, you'll find out that the Vulture's name is Adrian Tomes. Derpa, 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 derp. 1 + 2 is fucking Vulture's daughter. Right. God damn it. You don't have to be a fucking rocket scientist to figure out Adrian Tomes and Michelle Tomes. And
to do a little bit derpa, of Googling. Derp.
Yeah, come on. Like, oh, it's such a spoiler. No, this is the studio releasing this information and having us reporting it to get you all like, ooh, we got insider info. You're going to go to the movie, and the first thing you're going to find out is that that's the fucking Vulture's
daughter.
Okay,
so you as an audience member know.
You'll know that. Like, this is the studio. Spider-Man
not find
Why
out.
Would the studio let this leak on major publications like this? They want us to get involved with Zendaya more. They want us to know what the fuck a Zendaya is. Zendaya is the Vulture's daughter. There. It's okay. I still don't know what the fuck's going to happen in this movie. Is Spider-Man going to lose? He's lost before. Remember in The Amazing Spider-Man 2? I think he lost. Yeah, he killed fucking what's-her-fuck. He killed her. Fucking in the end of the movie, the end of that series, Spider-Man just killed his girlfriend. Wah-wah. And then they ended it. There you go. The end. All right, let's move on to Tom Holland now.
There goes your 15 fucking bucks.
He goes to the fucking psych ward. I killed my girlfriend. She's dead because of me. I was a superhero. I'm like, you're crazy, kid. And they lock him up. That's the end. And then Miles Morales comes in. The fucking Miles, what is it? Miles Morales, the fucking Donald Glover version comes in and. The one I want, who's going to make an appearance in Homecoming. That's the one people wanted for the new Spider-Man. But anyways, so what do you think? Is this a spoiler for you? Do you feel like it's a spoiler? I'm going to make annotations and say possible spoilers for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Possible Spider-Man spoilers. I'll let people know about
it. Depends on what's in the movie.
Do you feel like it's a spoiler? I mean, to me, it's not because her name is Michelle Tomes, and I know that Adrian Tomes is the Vulture. Derp.
Right.
So
the audience should know.
I mean, they'll find out if they don't already know. They'll find out by watching. It's not a big plot point. To me, a big plot point would be like, and it also turns out that he's related to fucking Spider-Man, too. It turns out that it's his uncle. Fuck. I can't kill my uncle. Not that I wanted to kill him, but he needs help. I need to get him help.
Right.
Fuck. What do I do about my Vulture uncle? Uncle Vulture. Like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't...
Well,
like...
he already...
Yeah.
Yeah. He already feels bad about his other uncle, right?
I guess, like, final thoughts on this. I mean, I'm glad to finally know what a Zendaya is and what she is in this movie, because mm-hmm. I'm like, why is it such a secret who she is in this movie? Why is it such a big deal? And it's like, oh yeah, it's just, she's the Vulture's daughter. Like, right. Like he's like Peter Parker is on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, and mm-hmm. he's taking videos of himself. He's on social media. He's a smart kid.
Right.
He's gonna see her name.
Right.
He's going to be Spider-Man. He's going to be investigating. He's going to find out who this Vulture guy is. He's going to find out his name.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be scenes where the Vulture is with his family, and it's Michelle Tomes.
Right.
And they're at the dinner table.
Right.
It's not going to be like, oh, my God, what's Spider-Man going to do about derp-a-derp?
Well,
he's going to be like,
hold on. Well, maybe either the Vulture or his daughter, like, are good at keeping their identities secret.
See, this is why they released this information. We're already like going, oh, I wonder what's going to happen in Spider-Man Homecoming. I just want to see it.
Yeah.
I don't care that it's his daughter.
I think the audience will know, and that won't really affect this in the story that much.
No, it really won't. It really doesn't. This isn't a big leak.
Spidey won't find out until, like, later, I bet.
I'm just glad to know what the fuck Zendaya is. And it's a lady, and she is a very talented lady, and she's going to be playing the Vulture's daughter. Again, possible spoilers if you think that's a spoiler. Why not? Go see Spider-Man Homecoming anyway. It's coming to theaters. Tom Holland, Michael Keaton, hell yeah, Michael Keaton, Zendaya, Marissa Tomei, Martin Starr, Chris Evans, Donald Glover, and Jon Favreau will swing into theaters on July 7th. Looking forward to that shit. And finally, we're ending on the weirdest piece of news ever, and it's going to be a quickie, but a goodie.
Mm-hmm.
This is unexpected. Apparently, mm-hmm. the Babadook from the movie The Babadook, that creepy ghoulie with the stovetop hat. He's got a black coke.
From the book, the Babadook book.
The Babadook book. The Babadook from the Babadook book. The Babadook. Oh, fuck. That creepy ghoulie with the stovetop hat, black coke, and perpetually bug-eyed and creepy smiling face is now a legitimate LGBT icon. That's right, the Babadook. And I tried to save...
all right.
The Babadook... okay, I don't know how. Okay, so what's the question is, how did the Babadook become a symbolism for the LGBT community? Well, it turns out that it seems the beginnings of this movement began with Netflix. It seems that the Babadook was put in the LGBT film section, intentionally or not, which then became a sort of meme on Tumblr and then later Twitter. A debate about whether the Babadook was actually gay or not raged in the fringes of the internet for months. They're like, is the Babadook gay? Is he not gay? What's the Babadook? I love this. I love this. So it went on and on for months until June hit. And since that's Gay Pride Month, the meme exploded and took a life of its own. Whether the people arguing about the monster's sexuality were doing it ironically, which seems to be the case for at least a large portion of the internet, and the fact that his status as a full-fledged gay icon has been cemented. The Babadook is now a gay icon.
Yeah,
he
apparently.
Beat Freddy Krueger to the punch. He beat the leprechaun.
I saw it all over my Facebook.
Sorry to out the horror movie icons, but Chucky and Freddy Krueger, leprechaun, are... anyway...
yeah, I saw it all over my Facebook. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is the Baba doing? It's like, talk about a creepy icon. Now, this entire thing is predicated on a ridiculousness of the premise that... Okay, sorry. Now, look, this whole thing was indeed probably just a mistake with Netflix algorithms, and it's entirely a fluke. Not only that, but no one from the film itself has confirmed this gay reading, though they haven't denied it either.
Right.
Claiming that the Babadook represents... dealing with depression and loss, but that doesn't change its impact with the LGBT community. And quite frankly, I'm enjoying the Babadook's newfound LGBT identity. Whether it is an oppositional reading, death of the author and all that, or not, I think it's fun. And this sort of thing isn't even new for horror icon. Hell, Freddy's Nightmare, and I mentioned Freddy Krueger earlier, Freddy's Nightmare is literally a metaphor for suppressing homosexuality. Not to mention all the kinky shit that Cenobites from Hellraiser series are probably into. You know the Cenobites from Hellraiser, the puzzle box. And then he comes out and Pinhead comes out. He's like, yes, you play with the puzzle box. Yes. And then he rubs his nipples. Play with our puzzle box. What are you doing? Nothing. It's like, are you touching yourself sexually? No. I'm going to torture you. Ooh. And then he starts rubbing his nipple again. Stop rubbing your nipple again. Those Cenobites are creepy. So like I said above, like I said earlier, this isn't as surprising once you look more into it. Either way, I'm definitely Baba shooked by this Babadook for sure. Hey, I love to end with a dad joke. All right, so what do you think? LGBT icon Babadook, pretty dope or what?
Yeah, why not?
That's a good icon. That's a fucking cool icon, man. Freddy Krueger's all melted and gross, but the Babadook's kind of like emo. Like he's kind of like the guy from The Cure, the lead singer from The Cure, whatever his name is, Robert something. And he's just like Tim Burton, just like that art school. Like, leave me alone. I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm in my room working. Like, that's like the Babadook. Like, I totally, for me, that's like, yeah, he's like an outsider, right? No one gets him. He's very brightly made up. It's like he's got a big smile. He's fancy. He's got a fancy hat, fancy coat. He's dressed very dapper. He just happens to be creepy looking. So? Yeah, and he doesn't kill anybody in the movie. Oh, spoilers! I better be careful about. I might have to delete that part. Okay. I'm gonna go back. Yeah. I just spoiled something about the Babadook, so we're moving forward from that. Okay. Sorry, guys, didn't mean to do that. But anyway, I think go watch the movie The Babadook and decide for yourself if the Babadook is an LGBT icon.
Yeah, if it's on Netflix,
why not? After seeing the movie and hearing this argument, I'm like, yes, it makes sense.
Is it on Netflix now?
It's on Netflix. Go watch it.
Okay.
It's totally... Go look in the LGBT section. That's where the Babadook is. And horror. It's awesome. I love it. And that's how we're going to end this nerd update. Armando Aranda, final thoughts. Horror movie icons taking on... roles in different communities. I think Ronald McDonald needs to step forward for the ginger community.
I'm for it. Yes.
We need a representative for the ginger community. Carrot Top is not a good one. He's a bad influence for steroid use. What else? We need one for nerdy white dudes. No, we already have one, don't we? It's like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, all those guys.
Yeah, we do. Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, yeah. We're good. All right, on that side. On the white front, we're good. Armando, on the Hispanic side, what do you want?
My God, I don't think I can make that call at all.
Come on, you got to make that. You are a representative.
What?
I spoke for the white people. You got to speak for your people.
What, Antonio Banderas is not
yes!
good
Yes! Fuck! Yes and a half! How did you know Zorro is my favorite?
I thought
I love Zorro. Batman's based on Zorro, kind of. He's a philanthropist, and he goes and fights crime, and he's rich.
I thought that just kind of went without saying, you know?
Dude, fuck, yes. High five, metaphorical, because you can't see it. Bam, and a real high
boom,
five.
Boom.
Zorro, Antonio Banderas, that is the best representative. All right, not bad, man. Yeah. Sweet. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of Nerd Update. Thank you so much for nerding out with us, guys. We truly, deeply appreciate it yet again. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Like that Facebook page. Go to our website, yotina.podomatic.com. Say it once, say it again. yotina.podomatic.com. Yeah. go to our YouTube channel, Simmer Mike, all caps, no space, Simmer Mike. We got lots of reactions up there. We'll probably be reacting to a recut Babadook trailer, hopefully. That would be cool. We got to find
that. Would be
great. There's a recut Babadook where it's like this, check out the Babadook. It's a... You know, it's about accepting yourself and who you really are. The Babadook, I'm coming to terms with my life. Anyway, that's going to do it, guys. Thanks for nerding out with us. Geek on and geek off. Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been Team Awesome. Team
check,
Awesome.
Check.
Here at Team Awesome Inc.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.